Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text of our meditation this morning actually comes from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 1, going all the way through verse 15. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. In this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by your earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it, so now finishing doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased in your burden and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Here ends the reading. This was years and years ago, before I was born even. That's how long ago we're talking. 1981 was when I was born, so we're talking like 70s. It was a particularly bad year that year. The snow was quite a bit much, not necessarily for here, but more like in the Colorado area by the Rockies. And as you might guess, with all of that snow, especially on some of those parts of the mountains, they actually began to have avalanches, and people lived up there in that area. And so the Red Cross was deployed. The Red Cross was deployed to help people because all the roadways had been covered. There was no way out. There was no way to access food. There was no way to get any of that stuff. And so they were deployed with helicopters to try to find people that were stranded and to rescue them. And they were on their way back one of these days. And as they went by, they saw a little bit of smoke. And they could barely make it out. They got close enough to where they could finally figure out that it was actually a house. And the way the snow had drifted, you could actually get to the front door. You couldn't land the helicopter, though. So the helicopter had to go a ways off, and they had to kind of make their way up to the house. And finally, the person from the Red Cross knocks on the door, and this old grandma-like lady comes to the door, and the man says, "Ma'am, I'm from the Red Cross." And she looks at him, a little startled, and then she goes, "Sonny, it's been a hard winter. I can't give this year." You know, we're kind of prone to that, though, aren't we? We just immediately assume that people are out to get money. We see it everywhere. We get. I don't know how about you guys, but I get like 5 phone calls a day from spammers and scammers and other people. And some of them are legitimate. They need money. They want money. You go into your local grocery store, and some of them are actually in the store. Some of them are in the front of store looking for money. And everywhere else we go, sometimes they come. They knock on your door. And you know what they are, and you know what to expect. It's probably not some long-lost friend from 10 years ago. It's probably somebody that wants to sell you something. We've grown accustomed to it. We've grown used to it. And so whenever I say, hey, we're about to have this stewardship month, I'm sure many of you cringe and you go, oh, I didn't have this marked on my calendar. I'll know not to come next week because it's stewardship month and we can't have that. But I think when we do this, it's because we get stewardship all wrong. We get it all wrong. And we just assume that stewardship month is really about the church knocking on the door saying, come on, can you give just a little bit more? And when we do that, we end up misrepresenting stewardship. Our text for today is 2 Corinthians. Paul had a task. You see, usually the mother church helps the baby churches, like helps the churches that they've planted and seeded and all of that kind of stuff. But Judea, all of Judea had been hit by a fairly heavy famine. And so Paul had been tasked, not just Paul, others as well, but Paul had been tasked to go to some of these churches, to write to some of these churches, to see if they could come and help Jerusalem, to help some of the people that were there, to help the church that was there. And it's in the midst of this that we have our letter to the Corinthians, a rather well-off kind of area. Now, they were young Christians, it's true, but they were still in a very much a double port area, if you can believe it. They had two ports. Not just one, but two. They had two ports. And Paul is writing to this wealthy group. And what does he talk about? Now, yeah, he talks about giving. He talks about how the Macedonians, even though they were also facing economic hard times, they also gave in abundance, but he also talks to them about giving, but he also talks about grace. And that's really what you want to kind of focus on this morning. Grace. You see, the next 3 weeks, we're going to handle three different areas: grace, faith, and love. And in fact, the Bible study downstairs with Pat Hanley is going to focus on grace. And in fact, if you want, we have a book in the back. I printed 50 of them. Hopefully I have enough. But 50 of daily devotionals to go Monday through Friday to focus in on this topic alone. And so you have grace. Well, what is grace? We know what grace is. This is one of those times where everybody goes, I know what grace is, but Pastor, can you help define it for the group? We love the little acronyms, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. And I know that that's a simple, simplistic way of understanding it, but yet it's also a very good one. It's a true one. You have the forgiveness of sins, free of cost. It didn't cost you anything. Even the faith that you have is a gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not done through you, or it is done through you, but it is not because of you. It's not because you worked really hard. It's not because you've somehow earned it. It is a free gift. But do not be confused. Saying it is a free gift to you does not mean the gift was free. It cost someone their life. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He suffered on the cross. He died on the cross. And he rose again on the third day, and he did it for you. There was a price to be paid for the forgiveness that we so freely receive. There was a price to be paid for the very grace that we give, that we get, that we receive. And as people that have received grace, that also means that we can give grace. Yes, we can give grace. We, as Mr. Slater talked about this morning, you know, we are enabled to give out that grace in our daily life through our transactions, through how we act, and there are other ways to look at grace. But because we are children of God, we are children of grace, that means that we can give grace. As children of grace, we should be impacted. We are changed. We're children of God. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 that through baptism we are buried with Christ and we are raised with Christ, a new creation. It's not that we live a world and live as a person that has no sin, but we are both saints and sinners at the same time. We have this new creation which God has created in us, a creation that acts, thinks, functions differently. Now, we still have our old self in there, and we could go into more of that if we want. But part of what we're doing and part of what we're talking about is how we have been transformed by the very love of God, by the very grace of God which we have received. And yes, stewardship is a part of that. Stewardship is understanding that through the grace of God, that God actually owns everything. It's all His. All of it. And as our Lord has acted in a sacrificial manner, we also as Christians are called to act in a sacrificial manner. Now, I know it's really easy, and it would be super easy for me to say, and that's why we should just give more. But the reality is that this has to do with so much more than just giving. This has to do with giving of our time. This has to do with giving of our talents. And yes, this has to do with giving of our treasures. It has to do with all of that. As a transformed child of God, we are called to live a life of grace that understands that God has given all for you. There's another little story that I've been told like a million times, and it's about a pastor. And the pastor's at a church, and every year he receives a check. And the check is for $1,000. And it's from a member of the church who he's never met. See, the man never comes to church. Every year. And right on the memo line, it has written, dues. And so year after year, the pastor receives the check for the church. And finally, the pastor says he's had enough. And he goes to the door, and he sits down, and he tries to talk to the man. But eventually he puts that check on the table and then he leaves. Our giving is done out of grace. Our giving is done out of a correct understanding of the theology that we have, the knowledge that our grace was not free and that we are children of God. You are not paying dues. We have no dues that are that are membership fees. But we are called instead to act as Christians, transformed by the very grace of God, knowing that we have so freely been forgiven of our sins through one who gave it all, through Christ Jesus our Lord. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, let us stand as we now confess.